A lonely marriage doesn't just affect you emotionally and relationally. It also leads to higher levels of weight gain as well. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, returning shortly with some rather weighty relationship news.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
If you're in an emotionally stagnant marriage, that might be reflected when you step on the bathroom scale. A recent study has shown that people who feel neglected by their spouses have a BMI 5 points higher than their happily married counterparts. That could be due to stress eating and even weaker impulse control, both of which showed up in the brain scans of unhappy spouses. Additionally, happy marriages produce more oxytocin, a hormone released through emotional and physical intimacy that reduces food intake. With that in mind, the next step in improving your weight could very well coincide with the next step in improving your marriage. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, AI-free email you can trust.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey, so I'm back. Back from Kalamazoo, Michigan, place I've never been before, actually. It's over on the western side of the state of Michigan. I live, if you hold up your left hand, along the right-hand side of your thumb. And this was over by, the lower part of your pinky. I was in Kalamazoo at the Community Mental Health Authority of the state of Michigan's quarterly, because they have three a year, but it feels quarterly, their winter conference, and it lasted for 2 days. There were mental health professionals, CEOs, board members, people in leadership positions at the Community Mental Health, which is the public mental health authority in our state. They gather together in the winter, in the fall, and in the summer. Our next meeting will be in June. And so I went to the one back in the fall, had an interesting time and actually a great time there. And then I went to this one too. So on the first day of this event, the first day, which was, it was the pre-conference event on Monday, I went to the pre-conference event, which normally I wouldn't have done because it was like a four-hour session and it was a day before anybody else got there. But I'll tell you why I went, because they were talking about, da-da-da, drum roll, my least favorite topic. My most favorite and least favorite at the same time, which is artificial intelligence. And the particular session that was held the day before for people who wanted to attend, and there was about 35, 40 people who showed up a day early to attend this event, was talking about whether your organization, one of the 40-plus community mental health authorities located in counties all across the state of Michigan, whether you were ready to implement artificial intelligence into your community mental health services. And there were people pretty much across the spectrum Of the 35 or so people there, some lived in counties that had not even touched artificial intelligence. Others, similar like my own, were deeply involved in using artificial intelligence. Now, this all happened before I came on board, before I joined the board of directors back in March of 2025. Wow, hard to believe that. It was last year, but it's only been about 9 months so far that I've been on there. But I did not even realize that St. Clair County, Michigan, where I sit on the board of directors, was using artificial intelligence, a program called Elios, E-L-E-O-S, which is an Israeli company that apparently, and I didn't know this during the four-hour session, so I was just kind of sitting there absorbing and listening, but afterwards I learned from the people who are, you know, work with our county that, yes, we're actually using it, and we are one of the pioneers in using artificial intelligence. Now, where this gets interesting and concerning, as far as I'm concerned, is that the main benefit to using artificial intelligence for a community mental health authority is to take treatment notes. Now, you guys may have seen, if you do a Zoom meeting and you turn it on or don't turn it off, depending on the case, you know, how the case may be, but the Zoom AI, the artificial intelligence embedded in Zoom, will make a transcript in real time of exactly what you guys talked about. And at the end, you can either, you know, hit a button and get the transcript where you just see what exactly was said, or you can go a step further and you can get a summary. And it will actually say, here were the action items, here were the things discussed during your meeting, here was the conversation. And that is what the artificial intelligence within community mental health, and not just government-based community mental health, but therapists and hospitals all over the country now, are moving to this model of doing treatment notes using artificial intelligence. So what does this mean? This means that when a person sits down to talk to their therapist, and by the way, anyone listening to the sound of my voice who has met with a doctor or a therapist or a social worker in the last, oh, I would say probably 2-3 years perhaps, may have had this experience and not even known it was happening. In the room together with you and your presumably confidential conversation with your doctor, your therapist, because those are considered privileged communications. But sitting in the room with you could very well be a microphone that is hooked up to artificial intelligence that is eavesdropping. I mean, that's what I'm going to call it. Basically sitting there listening to your entire conversation, taking down every word that is spoken in real time. One of the presenters at a different session, I actually got to watch this in action. I'm sure it's probably all over the place, but I'd never seen it before. As she was standing up there talking and presenting her slides and on a completely different topic, having nothing to do with technology, but actually was about addiction. But as she was presenting her, you know, just talking to us, up on the screen was a real-time transcript. Like, I wouldn't even say transcript, like, captions for every word she was speaking up on the screen in text as she spoke them. And as people raised their hands and asked questions, their words were appearing there as part of the caption. And it was like off-putting. I really did not like it. I didn't like the fact that every word she spoke, there were people who were reading those words and not even really listening to what she said, but just reading the words up there on the screen. And at the end of it, it meant that she could press a button and print out not only the slides that she had presented, but the captions that went along with each of the slides. And you could just get it all, courtesy of artificial intelligence. And if you chose to, I'm sure that there was probably an option that said, could you summarize what was discussed during this 90-minute workshop? And AI would happily oblige. If you do that in a workshop and it's up on the screen, that's one thing, because I know it's there, you know it's there, everybody knows the deal, because we're all seeing it happen in real time. And it's a public event, right? You're in a 90-minute workshop. By the way these community mental health conferences take place is actually pretty cool. There's a big breakfast where all 600 people, I think this one was a little smaller. I think the one in the fall had like 650 people. This one had probably more like 500 people. But anyway, you got a bunch of people in a big room and there are, you know, waiters bustling around, and there's a buffet table, and you all kind of sit and you aim your chairs around these circular tables. You aim them, you know, towards the stage, and then they do a presentation. So you're eating breakfast, you're drinking coffee, you're talking to your friends, you're around your table, and there's 600 people in a room. So you and 600 of your closest friends, and that's the breakfast, that's the lunch. And then in the morning, there are two sessions. In the afternoon, there are two more 90-minute sessions, which are workshops that you can attend. And because there are 600 people there, you're not going to get 600 people in one room. They have, I don't know, 6-8 different options that you can choose from. So in the morning, you go to your breakfast, and then at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10:30, you go to your first session. And so you pick one. So of the 6 or 8 options, you choose what you want to do. And since this is mental health care, it's everything from like group homes for children to Medicaid funding to dealing with addiction to dealing with intellectual disabilities and technology that can help. I mean, it's all these sorts of things. And so for me, I go there and we're all there in the breakfast together. And by the way, the speakers there were amazing and were really good. But then you got to choose. You got to pick which one am I going to go to? But there's maybe probably between 30 and 75 people in each one. And so you pick which one you're going to go to, and you walk in, and it's pretty much a public event, really. I mean, not any member of the public could walk in, but any one of the 600 people. So if that's being recorded by artificial intelligence, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And if I don't want to participate in that, I won't raise my hand and I just won't speak. But it's a very different thing when you're talking about a private therapy session in which someone is discussing some of the deeper, more personal and private aspects of their lives. Because isn't that what people do in therapy? I mean, you go because there's a trusted individual who you know will not spill your secrets. A person, one person in the world, perhaps for some people, the one person you can go to and confide in and talk about some of the darker things that you need to work through. And now, perhaps without your knowledge, there's artificial intelligence sitting in the room with you. All right. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, just coming back from CMH State Conference. Be back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Don't gotta worry about a thing. Your thoughts on what is true and honorable, on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Put into practice all you've learned, and the God of peace will be with you.
Hey, I'm back. Well, we got to worry about a couple things. We don't have to worry in the long run, right? Our souls are, it is well with my soul. Our souls are in good shape as long as we have entrusted them to the protector of our souls, and that is Jesus Christ. But on a day-to-day basis, as we're going about our lives, we've got a lot of stuff we got to pay attention to. And I'm not sure that it's worse now than it's ever been in the past. In the past, you had to worry about, I don't know, catching scarlet fever or falling in a swamp or getting bit by a snake or attacked by a wolf. Who knows? But the things we have to worry about have a little different character. They're kind of harder to spot. Some of them are not visible at all. So artificial intelligence, as I learned at the conference, and I learned many, many things at the conference. I could talk for a couple hours about all the stuff that happened there, including some amazingly fantastic things that came from that conference that I'll be keeping you apprised of in coming months. But some really good things happened. But the one thing I wanted to make you aware of, because I was not aware of it, is that this software that puts artificial intelligence in the room. It's just a microphone, right? You can't see it. It's not sitting there. It's not breathing down your neck. It's not, you know, looming over your doctor looking at you. It's just a silent microphone somewhere, probably on their computer or on their phone. And it is listening to the conversation and it is transcribing it afterwards. Now, for clinicians, now I'm learning all of this. I am, just so you know, my doctorate is in developmental psychology, but I'm a research psychologist. I am not a therapist or a counselor. I do not sit down and have sessions one-on-one with people. That's not the kind of doctorate that I have and not the kind of psychologist that I am. So I'm learning as I, you know, am part of the whole community mental health community, the community of community mental health providers, I'm learning a lot about what their lives look like. If you are a provider, if you're a therapist, if you're a counselor, and you're working with individual clients, one of the big responsibilities on you, because this is all Medicaid dollars, Medicare dollars, federally funded, there are huge responsibilities that private therapists don't have when you're dealing with the government. And that is to keep extremely careful therapy notes from everything you do. You prescribe something, you make a recommendation. All of that has to be documented in order to, appease the audits when the questions come around. And all this data, huge mountains of data on every way that you spend all the money, every way you spend your time, everything you do with the individual clients. They have person-centered plans that have to be written up in triplicate and distributed. I'm making that up because nobody does triplicates anymore. You just hit send and save. But you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of paperwork involved. And as I've been researching, why in the world would a therapist want an artificial intelligence eavesdropper listening to their session? The answer is that between 20 and 25% of a clinician's time, this is a therapist, a person who deals one-on-one with people and talks them through and helps them, 20 to 25% of their time is spent writing up the notes. Now, I didn't know that. I didn't realize even that there were notes. I always thought that was kind of confidential. But 20 to 25% of their time is writing up the notes. So that's why this software is so appealing, because at the end of the session, you, as the therapist, don't have to sit down and go, now, let me think, what exactly did they say again? Let me write this up, right? You don't have to do that. You just hit, display. And there is the summary, and you can make changes if you want to. You can go in manually, like it's a Word document. You can make changes or add things or subtract things. But for the most part, you can just go, phew, well, that onerous, burdensome paperwork task is taken care of for me. Phew, what a relief. And then you move on. And at a lot of hospitals, this was coming up during the session, they said, well, it's kind of a drag for the clinician because in at least a couple hospitals that they mentioned, if you use this software, you have to see two more clients a day because they know you have some free time now. And so it basically, it doesn't save you time. It just puts you on a bigger treadmill. So you're working even harder. And it's probably good that you're able to see more people because people need to be seen, but you're doing that at the expense of hiring another therapist. So I guess money is being saved. But what's happening with all this personally identifiable health data. And they call it PHI, personal health information. What's happening to it? Is this a HIPAA violation? So these were questions that I had. And so I did a little bit of research. I just posted this on my chat. Did I post the link? I think I did. Yeah. So I just posted this. If you go to Catherine-Albrecht.com in the chat room, you can see I posted a link to top HIPAA compliant. Now, HIPAA is that Health Information Privacy Act thing. Top HIPAA compliant AI note takers for therapists, 2026, compare and choose safely. All right, now I'm just going to read a little bit of this. Documentation audits are increasing. Insurers are rejecting vague or inconsistent notes, and concerns about AI-generated therapy notes from fabricated details. Yeah, I never even thought of that one. Yeah, I could just invent something. To unclear data storage are making clinicians more cautious. Many tools claim to be HIPAA compliant, but stop at basic security. They encrypt data, yet fall short on clinical accuracy, documentation, and alignment with the treatment plan. These are the areas that insurers and supervisors care about most. Others raise concerns around recording, storage, how they're using the data, and relying on generic ChatGPT or GPT-based models. All right, so there's a list of them here. Mentalic, Upheal, Elios, that's the one that St. Clair is using, or Elios, E-L-E-O-S, Heidi, Therapy Notes, AI add-on, et cetera, et cetera. And so during this session, we were talking about the implications of doing this and what the people, the guys running the session, they were pretty skeptical about AI, to be perfectly honest, and saying that it's not really ready for prime time and there are a lot of questions and issues with it. And they said, now remember, as I'm sitting in the session, I didn't even know that we were using it at our mental health authority. I'm just listening and absorbing, and most of the people in the room are not using it, so I'm learning along with them. And they said one of the key problems is once the data, now you've got information about, I mean, this is really intimate, personal, private information about people. It is going into AI, and once that data leaves the country for processing, then it is no longer subject to the HIPAA rules in the, at least a federal government kind of a way that could be prosecuted. Now, they can make promises that it's going to be HIPAA compliant when it leaves the country, but there's no real enforcement of that, or there's no real enforcement mechanism in case it turns out that they're not doing that. And so later, when I learned over lunch that we're not only doing that, but we're doing it with an Israeli provider, I was like, huh, that's kind of concerning. So the questions it raises, they were talking about, this is not just in therapy sessions. This is in doctor's appointments. You could be, the next time you go in with a sniffle or a cold or to deal with your, you know, diabetes medication or your, you know, have a heart test or whatever it is you're doing with your doctor, there is a, I wouldn't say a big chance, but certainly a chance that your doctor is employing this very same system. And as he talks to you or she talks to you about your symptoms and about your medical situation, that your confidential conversation is being transcribed and uploaded into the cloud to go who knows where, to be stored in heaven knows what form. And it has your name attached to it because it's you. They've got to have a medical record about you. And all of this data is being stored and flying around through the ether. And it is freaking me out. And the reason, obviously, is that who has not had a data breach? Who has not received the letter in the mail or the email alert that says, oh, oops, sorry, all your credit card information, your social security number, all of your data, oh, it just got compromised. We're so sorry. What happens when the thing that gets compromised are the details of your most, I don't know, your biggest concerns, your deepest traumas, your entire life history? What happens when that not only gets compromised, but winds up in the hands of a malicious artificial intelligence? What happens when artificial intelligence goes, I know exactly how to push this person's buttons. They're terrified of snakes. I know how to push this person's buttons. They really don't deal well with confrontation. They just shut down. So, you know, the way to deal with them is confront. Or this other person over here, man, you confront them and they go ballistic. So the way to get to them is X, Y, and Z. And the thing about artificial intelligence is it is really good at manipulating human emotions. That's one of its top skills, it seems. And so if it has access to not only all of the emails we write, which is why I'm telling people to switch to StartMail, because we're the only email provider that guarantees AI won't be reading all of your messages and knowing all the details of your life. But what happens when it not only knows all of those details, but it knows the deepest workings of your psyche? It knows what you're afraid of. It knows what makes you happy. It knows what you're working on. It knows your vulnerabilities. The thought of AI having that kind of information about human beings is terrifying to me, absolutely terrifying, because there's really nothing that would give you greater leverage over a human being, really nothing, other than knowing what matters to them. Think about it. You can threaten people, but if they don't care about what you're threatening, that doesn't give you control, right? You can threaten people with all sorts of things. You can take stuff away from them. You can do things to them. But if that's not really what matters to them personally, it's not going to be as effective. But once you actually know an individual and what they fear, what they care about, what motivates them, the sky's the limit in terms of manipulation. All right, Catherine Albert here. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Though you must endure these trials, it's only for a little while. It's only testing by the fire, born into a living hope. From flesh into perfection, through death and resurrection. You've never seen him, but you trust him. You don't see him, but you love him. And your reward is coming, coming. So be glad there is joy ahead for you. Isn't it wonderful, so wonderful, sealed in Christ, undefiled, kept in heaven for you. Isn't it wonderful?
So the good part, absolutely wonderful. So good things happened at this conference. I don't want to leave you with the impression that it was all bad, because I would say for the most part, this was spectacularly successful. I'm probably not going to go into that during this particular show, because I do want to continue talking about this treatment note AI application. But I also want you to know that I am not just Debbie Downer here. It's not all negative, but I really think we need to be aware of these things. And one of the issues that came up around the use of this software was the issue of informed consent, right? Now, what is informed consent? It is tossed around as a value that we supposedly hold, and yet most of the things that we do not allow for informed consent, even though they claim they do. And so let me talk about the use of AI in therapy. If you were informed, then you should know the minute you sit down with your therapist should inform you. Actually say, hi, nice to meet you. Here's my name, and let's get started. And before we go any further, I want to inform you of this fact, and then explain to you what it is, what it does, what the implications are, what the advantages are, and then after they inform you fully, then the consent part comes up, and they should have to hand you a piece of paper, a clipboard with a pen, and say, do you agree or disagree? And on that clipboard and on the pen, it would say at the top, this office, this therapist, is using artificial intelligence to create treatment notes and to write up the contents of your sessions with him or her. Do you agree to that? And then have a box that you would check yes or no. Now, you know, when you go to a website and it asks you that cookies thing, that's because some states, I think California does it, and all of Europe does it. If they're collecting cookies on you on a particular website, they have to get your permission, right? And the idea, and Europe does this actually pretty well, I've been on some European websites that do a good job of this, is it'll say, do you agree or disagree? And then you check the box. And most people would check the no, heck no, you can't collect my data for marketing purposes and for blah, 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 blah. No, reject all. And so I know that reject all box very well because I click it all the time unless I'm in a hurry and I'm like, oh, shoot, I clicked the wrong box, all right? But in the United States, it's not that easy, right? It'll say accept, or they'll, in the fine print, it'll say go into the settings, and then you have to go in the settings and individually uncheck all the things you don't want the cookies used for. I don't know, there's a whole ton of optional, horrible reasons why you wouldn't want them used, but it's a pain. It's a pain. You got to go through and actually uncheck it. But at least in the state of California and in Europe, there's an option to uncheck that box. Most of the websites that you land on that don't even ask you that are automatically collecting that information without giving you any informed consent option. You are not informed about it. You do not consent or withdraw consent. What happens on a lot of those websites where it is accept all or go into the settings and poke around and all you want to do is one quick thing? Oftentimes, probably most of the time, the reason they make it so difficult to opt out is because nobody wants to be bothered with opting out. It's the same as when you sign up for, I don't know, you install an app or you sign up for a service and it says you cannot go on until you accept our terms and your terms of service. And 3 pages later, at the bottom of the 3 pages you're forced to scroll through, it says accept. Now, how many of us actually read the 3 pages? I do every once in a while if I'm suspicious or if I just have too much time on my hands. But who, you know, ain't nobody got time for that. Who's got time to read all of that legalese? And even if you could read it all, would you really understand it? And let's say you did read it all and you did understand it, and paragraph 17 and 23 are things that you find egregiously inappropriate. What you going to do? Are you going to say, yes, I agree to everything except those 2 paragraphs? No, because your only choice is agree to everything and use our service or disagree to everything. And fine, we don't need you anyway. Don't use our service. So now let's get back to the therapy situation or the doctor, hospital, doctor visit situation. First of all, they're not giving you, well, they all say that they're giving you informed consent, but what form does that take? Well, what it means is when you go in for therapy and somewhere in the fine print of all of the permission that you sign before going into therapy, somewhere in there, buried, I'm sure, in like the middle of some middle paragraph in the middle of who knows what fine print, it says, by the way, we use it probably won't even say artificial intelligence software that's eavesdropping on your sessions. I can say that. They're going to say, you know, we deploy artificial intelligence solutions and such and so. And it's going to frame it in such a way that it's not really, even if you read it, you might not object to it. So that's really not being informed. And then how are you going to consent or withdraw consent? You are not given, like in Europe, the box that says, I agree, I disagree. You are given a one-size-fits-all form in which you agree to a jillion things if you want to get service. And you either sign it or you don't. You either get the service or you don't get the service. And that's where, perhaps in my position as a board member, in a mental health authority that's actually using this software, maybe that's a place where I can do a little more digging and find out what exactly is informed consent. So I asked the question, just in our county, is anyone opting out? Well, yes. A number of people have opted out. And I said, really, that's interesting. What I should have asked is, how did they even know they needed to opt out? But instead, what I said is, why did they, what reason did they give? Oh, well, they didn't want AI listening to them. And I'm like, hang on. So we've got hundreds of people signing these forms and going in for therapy. And is it really the case that only a handful of them don't want AI listening to them and taking their private information and putting up in the cloud to another country? I'm guessing that it's probably more than a handful of people if they actually knew. If they were actually informed. So the next time you go to your therapist, your social worker, your doctor, your clinician, whoever it is that you're seeing, and having a conversation with them, ask them. And they probably won't know the answer. Your doctor probably doesn't even know this is being done to him or her. I mean, they may have some kind of a sense that there's like notes that are just sort of magically made available, but I doubt they know all the details of how they're taken, where they go, who processes them, and what happens to them. So I am on the Elios website. Elios Health Software Review 2026 Features, Integrations, Pros, and Cons. Now, this is one of many companies that does this. And here's the part that bugs me. I'll read you this. Elios leverages purpose-built AI to simplify behavioral health documentation and compliance. By the way, if there's one place they shouldn't be doing this, using AI to simplify things, it's this, really. It really is this. Created using, now here's the part that really just frosted me. Created using the industry's largest database of real-world behavioral health sessions, and fine-tuned by an in-house team of clinical experts, Elios is scientifically proven to reduce documentation time by more than 70%, boost client engagement by 2 times, I'm puzzled by that, and improves symptom reduction by 3 to 4 times. With Elios, behavioral health providers are free to focus less on administrative tasks and more on what got them into this field in the first place, caring for their clients. All right. Let's see if we can unpack this a little. Created using the industry's largest database of real-world behavioral health sessions, do you really believe that the world's largest database, which probably consists of tens of thousands of people, that tens of thousands of people said, why, yes, you can use the contents of my therapy session to build your software. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. I'm fine with you knowing my deepest traumas and my tears and all of the things that I'm sharing that I feel like I'm crawling over broken glass with my therapist to share. You can use that. Absolutely. I have no problem with you using my pain to build your system. Give me a break. Were any of these people paid? Of course not. Of course not. Who would pay someone going to therapy in order to snag all of their personal information and put it into a robot? Nobody's going to pay them for that. Did they even know it was happening? Or was it the case that when they signed the clipboard with their 3 pages of permission that they signed at the bottom, that somewhere in there buried it said, by the way, we can listen to your session, create, add it to the world's largest database of real world behavioral health sessions and train our AI on your data? Right? It was probably buried in there. And yeah, did they consent while they signed the form? All right. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Sweeter than honey from the comb. Are your words there finer than gold? The rarest treasure of my life. Only your word could make my spirit shine. So may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Every movement of my mouth be pleasing before your sight. Keep me from secret sin. Keep me from selfishness. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You take what's
all right, I'm back. So, yeah, largest database of real world behavioral health sessions. So, the first link that I provided on my chat room at Catherine-Albrecht.com in the live chat room that goes live during the hour every day that I do the show. In there is a chart, right? And the chart in there is the ranked list of top HIPAA compliant AI note takers and treatment plan generators. All right, it's disturbing because the AI not only takes the notes, but it generates the treatment plan. It actually listens to what the client has to say and then suggests a treatment plan for that client. And apparently, many clinicians are simply going, sure, sounds good to me. Click, accept, print. There's the treatment plan. There you go. Based on what I heard you talk about, your trauma and your substance use and your this and that and the other, here's your treatment plan, X number of milligrams of this drug, X number of amounts of that thing, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's not only listening, it's not only recording, it's thinking, and it's processing, and it's coming up with solutions. The chart here, when I look at each of these, here are the things across the top of the chart. Best four. All right, so what's the tool? Mentalic uphill. Let's look at those. Best four. Best overall for therapists wanting full compliance and audit safe notes and advanced session analytics. I think all this compliance stuff is really disturbing because your insurance company, if you are going to therapy and it's being billed to insurance, they want details. They want to know what's going on. What's your diagnosis? What's your treatment plan? What's wrong with you? Why are you in therapy in the first place? Let's give that a code. Let's give it a number. Let's analyze it. Let's turn it into raw data because that's what computers like to work with, right? It's not about the look in your therapist's eyes And as they're wiping away a tear when you're sharing something really painful, that's no longer what this is about. This is all about the money and all about saving money, saving time, streamlining, and making things efficient. And the one place you cannot streamline, make things efficient, and focus on the money is when you're dealing with people's emotions, people's lives. Horrible. All right. HIPAA, blah, blah, blah. Recording storage. All right. The Mentallic Zero recording storage. This is rare. So the recording, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does it mean that they just write up the notes and then they delete the contents? Because isn't that what a therapist would be doing? They would be having the session. There would be no transcript of the session because you can't get in their head and they don't remember anyway. They would write up two paragraphs of notes and that would be the end of it. And then the contents of the session would just flow away with the time, right? It would just flow away like the ether. But when you've got this thing, every word spoken, every breath, every sigh, every tear, every gasp, it's all recorded. And so Mentallic, M-E-N-T-A-L-Y-C, which is one of these AI treatment softwares, does not keep the recording, doesn't store it. Upheal says not clear. Ilios, not clear. Heidi, not clear. Therapy Notes AI add-on, not clear. All right. So not clear probably means, they keep it if they want to. All right. Uses data for training. This is important. This is what that original database was created by. They use the data from people's sessions to train the AI. This is shorthand. I want you to pay attention to this. Any place that artificial intelligence is being used, you need to look at this. Is it being used for training? Because if it is, if they're reading your email and using it to train their system, then there are two ways it can do that. It could be training their system based on the sorts of things you write, or it could literally be training its system based on the facts that it learns by reading your email. So you do not want any system in any way that is being trained on the data that it is supposedly trying to help simplify or help process. So uses data for training. Well, Ilios, of course, says not clear. Who knows? They don't tell you either way. And my guess, based on the rather unethical way that they came up with their data in the first place, is that absolutely they're listening to every session and training AI using those sessions. That's just my guess. Didn't say that. All right. Treatment plans. Does it generate a treatment plan? Yes. Creates measurable goals from sessions and links them to ongoing progress. like I really need a machine doing this. Please. Ilios. Yes. Treatment plan support offered. All right. So I just became aware of this. Didn't know it existed. Find it absolutely abhorrent and horrifying. And I don't know, I need to ask my own social worker, because I have a social worker through the cancer center that I received treatment at, because I have stage 4 breast cancer. Praise God, I am symptom free and have been for over a decade now. So I don't think I'm in any risk at any time soon. But one of the services that I get along with my cancer treatment, which I go in for every 3 weeks, is I get a social worker. And I love my social work. She's great. She's one of my dearest friends. I really enjoy talking to her. And we talk about a lot of things. We talk about the radio show. We talk about the fact that I was going to this conference. We talk about a lot of stuff. And she's more just like a friend and a sounding board and a person that I kind of bounce ideas off of. And if I'm ever like struggling, like, hey, what do I do about this? She's got really good advice. But is that session being recorded to AI? Well, I'm going to find out. And if it is, it will be news to both of us, because she hates AI as much as I do, because she hears me talk about it all the time. So, you know, these are the kinds of questions that your clinician may not even know. Who knows? But they're the kinds of conversations we've got to be having. We have to be having these conversations, because in the meantime, this stuff is infiltrating all throughout our lives. And in the same way that your therapy session or your doctor's appointment may be recorded by AI and put up in the cloud, how many people realize that every Gmail that they write or receive is being fed into AI? How many people realize that every Yahoo email that they send or receive is not only being read and fed into AI, but can be used by Yahoo, according to item 6 in their terms of service, to actually put it up on a billboard? They could say, hey, you know, John Michelson over here is having an affair, and they could put it on a billboard in downtown Philadelphia if they chose to, because you agree to that, to have AI read all your email and to allow them to use it however they want. They can publish it. They could make a movie out of it. They could take the saga of your argument with your sister-in-law, and they could turn it into a made-for-television miniseries. They could. They grant themselves the right to do that. And I've been bringing this to people's attention. This is the reason why StartMail, which I helped to found back in 2012 when it was a glimmer in our eye, I'm one of the co-founders, that this thing we created back in 2012, I approached them last year, actually 2024, and I said, we have got to make a pledge that we'll never use this. It doesn't matter how popular it becomes. We can never feed our customers' email information. Talk about private. We can never feed that into AI. And in the same way that is a pledge that StartMail has taken. And by the way, you can use the coupon code, because I just got a text about this. The coupon code, my initials, which is K. And of course, my last name is Albrecht. So there's a K-A, but in the middle, there's an M. So K-M, that's my middle name. K-M-A at startmail.com is, no, take that back. K-M-A is the code for startmail.com. So go to startmail.com and on your coupon code, enter in K-M-A. You can do 7 days for free. Yeah, a 7-day trial. You can check it out, kick the tires. But there's a pledge right there on the homepage that says we don't, not only do we not feed it into AI, which seems like a no-brainer, right? Shouldn't your email not be fed into AI? Shouldn't your therapy session be confidential? Give me a break. But not only that, but we protect you from AI by encrypting your email so that it cannot be placed into AI. And in fact, even if you write to someone with a Gmail or Yahoo account whose email is all being read by AI, you can use our password feature. And if they want to read an email that you sent them, it doesn't even go into their Gmail or Yahoo inbox. It sits on our encrypted servers, and they have to enter a password. And to read the message you sent them, they've got to go on our server. So it doesn't even hit the Gmail or the Yahoo account. So if you want to have private AI-free communication that's not being watched by AI, at least you can do that in email through StartMail. StartMail.com, the coupon code is KMA. And we need equivalents everywhere. And the only reason StartMail's AI-free is because I was there saying, yo, we've got to promise not to do this thing other people are doing. If there were a therapist out there that would promise that no matter what, no one could listen to or hear or record or eavesdrop on your conversations, I think that'd be a pretty popular therapist. And it's not just that, it's everything, right? If there were a phone that didn't listen to you through its microphone, I think people would probably pay a few extra bucks and get that phone. So it's all around us, and we need to start creating alternatives. So go to realisgood.org. That's my new website to fight against all of this. Realisgood.org. We're going to be expanding it. And by the way, Moltbook has come up. That's that AI social media. I'm going to be talking about that too. It's not as scary as you think. Even though it seems scary, it's actually not. It's just a bunch of human beings putting their AIs on there. All right, Catherine Albrecht, I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.